Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments over the past week. And this week, I think we need to focus on the US labor market. There was a range of data released that detailed how the labor market is doing in the month of June. And I think some of that is worth unpacking in a little bit of detail. The second topic is just a quick update on South Africa's electricity position. It certainly looks a lot more favorable. And I think there has been a genuine underlying improvement in South Africa's ability to generate energy. That doesn't mean we're in a great position. We've still got a huge amount of work to do to improve the transmission capability of the energy grid, but also increase the capacity overall. But I think it's worthwhile just highlighting one or two issues there. The United States released a range of economic data last week. Obviously, there was the weekly jobless claims. There was also the official labor market report for the month of June, the job openings data, as well as the private sector ADP employment report. I think overall, the message is fairly consistent across those indicators, and that is that labor market conditions are softening, although it's not at this stage signaling a significant slowdown in the US economy or that the economy is heading to a recession. During the month, the US added 206,000 jobs. That's above what was expected. I think the market was looking for a gain of about 190,000 jobs. The 206,000 jobs, certainly decent, although it is a little bit below the six-month moving average, which sits at about 230,000 jobs. If I break down those jobs created during the month, what stands out to me is that a lot of the jobs are being added in the non-cyclical sectors. For example, during the month, government added 70,000 jobs. That's huge within the context of 200,000. In addition, the education and healthcare sectors added 49,000 jobs. Again, those tend to be interest rate insensitive. So if we look at the jobs that are being added in the private sector that are impacted by interest rates or cycles that are impacted by interest rates, then you could argue that there is less job creation and clear evidence of a moderation or slowdown in labor market conditions. In addition, the unemployment rate has now edged higher. It's gone to 4.1%. And if you think just a few months ago, it was sitting at around 3.5%. So there's clearly been an upward move in the unemployment rate. 4.1% is still a very good outcome, but it does feel as if the unemployment rate will continue to edge higher. On top of that, we have seen some moderation in job openings. They remain substantial at around 8 million. But at one point, it was sitting at a record high of 12 million. So the softening or the slowdown in job openings, again, suggests some moderation in labor market conditions. And I think overall, that's the message. The message is that the US business cycle has matured. The interest rates are starting to have a negative impact. There's more and more evidence of an economic slowdown unfolding. And that, understandably, the labor market is softening. What we're watching is not that. What we're watching is, does all of this lead to a recession? Or can the US start to cut interest rates over the next couple of months and continue to cut interest rates into next year, thereby avoiding a more severe or more substantial slowdown in US economic activity? So the debate is around the timing of US interest rate cuts, and then beyond that, the magnitude of those cuts. Clearly, if the Federal Reserve takes longer, takes their time, doesn't cut interest rates this year, pushes that out into next year, there would be a very high risk that the US economy will simply continue to soften and that by the time the US considers cutting interest rates, they are already in a recession. So I think it matters. The US Federal Reserve has signaled that they're getting closer to that point. They lack a little bit of confidence in terms of the underlying data. But you would imagine that systematically they move into that point where they can consider a cut. At this stage, we think that doesn't happen at the next FOMC meeting, which is on the 31st of July. We think that is probably a little bit too soon. But the meeting that happens in September would appear to be the most likely option for the Fed to consider cutting interest rates. They get a lot of updates by September. They also have a look at their own forecasts. And so we are expecting the Fed to start cutting 25 basis points in September and then continue those interest rate cuts in the remainder of the year and into next year. At this stage, the federal fund rate sits somewhere between 5.25% and 5.5%, and we think the neutral interest rate is around 3%. So that gives a significant amount of latitude for the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates over the next 18 months and take interest rates down to at least 3% before they really have to focus on whether or not interest rates need to go into a stimulatory level and act as a stimulus for the US economy. So I think for this at the moment, the labor market data is certainly fascinating, but it's all suggesting a ongoing moderation, which is likely to continue during the remainder of this year and into next year. It has been more than 100 days since South Africa had load shedding, and I think that provides us with an opportunity to have a quick look at how the electricity data is performing. If we look at the energy availability factor, for me, the most important economic statistic around energy, that's been sitting at over 60% for the last 2.5 months. And at the start of July, it appears to have risen even further. And I suspect that relates to one of the Kosili units coming back online or being introduced to the grid. And so 5 of the 6 units at Kosili are now operational. And clearly that's helping substantially. In addition, if I look at the unplanned maintenance, that has fallen off, which is good news. At the start of the year, it was sitting at about 30% of available capacity. That has now fallen to about 25%. That is still very significant, but it would perhaps argue that the historical maintenance undertaken by Eskom appears to be having some success in keeping the units operational. Of course, at some point we could see a surge in unplanned breakdowns, and that would put us back into load shedding, but for the moment it appears to be holding at a reasonably low level. It is a bit concerning, I guess, that the planned maintenance has been downscaled to 7.5% of available capacity. That's way below where it was at the beginning of the year. But that is typical of the winter months. Eskom has made it very clear that they reduce planned maintenance during the winter months in order to cope better with the cold weather. And that's exactly what they seem to have done. So the net result of this is just simply better production. And as a result of that, coupled with the investment in renewable energy, we're able to keep the lights on. That doesn't mean that there aren't specific problems in key municipalities, and that I think you're going to see the focus increasingly switch to the ability for municipalities to deliver electricity effectively in terms of their own transmission system. There's no doubt that within municipalities, there are many communities that are simply cut off from electricity, even though Eskom is able to supply. That's because there's been some sort of local power failure or some sort of interruption through the transmission system. And clearly that is where we've got to spend a huge amount of time trying to make sure that it's not just Eskom that keeps the lights on, but that municipalities can deliver that power effectively. That is a multi-year fix, but I think increasingly you're going to see that the economic reform process underway now will focus on local infrastructure, local municipalities, because I guess that is where you can make the single biggest impact on people's lives and how they experience South Africa. If I look at the data coming out of Stats SA, that also looks a little bit more encouraging in terms of electricity production. If we look at the last 2 months, production has been up 5.6% year on year. That measures not just what Eskom is producing, but it tries to encapsulate what is being produced in the country in total, and there seems to be a meaningful improvement. The takeaway, though, is that electricity output is nowhere near where it was back in 2017-2018. And therefore, if we want to try and grow this economy a lot faster than 1-1.5%, then we simply don't have enough capacity in place to achieve that. If we want to achieve a growth rate of, say, 3-4% on a sustained basis, we would have to invest a huge amount in additional energy capacity. Now, there are plans to try put that in place over the coming years, but clearly it's going to take time. And so I think overall, electricity remains a key hindrance to South Africa's growth ambitions. Yes, if we can keep the lights on, that helps us to achieve a growth rate of 1-2%. But if we want to grow beyond that, then we have to build up sufficient spare capacity so that when we try and achieve 3 or 4%, we don't immediately have to revert to load shedding in order to cope with that extra demand. So there are enough data points to be encouraged. There's enough to lift the GDP numbers in the short term, and there's no doubt other sectors will increasingly benefit from the fact that we have been able to scale back load shedding. But we've got a lot of work to do to get ourselves in a position that will facilitate meaningfully higher growth over the longer term and therefore a substantial increase in job creation.
So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers.